Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today I'm joined by Pau Capel, who recently set the unsupported FKT for Andorra's Estupiñánec route. Join us to learn about this technical route in this tiny mountain country, as well as how mountain projects feed his soul. Thank you, Pau, so much for making time to come on to the show today. I know it's a bit late there in Andorra, so I appreciate you being flexible.
It's a little late, yeah. In Andorra now, it's at 9:30 in the night. So I have now a baby also, so sometimes the time is difficult, but it's perfect for this podcast.
Great. I'm glad it worked out. So today we're going to talk about a new route that you submitted to the FKT site, the Estupiñánec. Hopefully I'm saying that sort of correctly. I'd love it if you could start out by explaining to us what that word means and also why the route is named for that.
Okay, so the Estupiñánec is a metal structure that the houses in Andorra years ago put on the windows and the doors to close these windows, these doors, for the animals.
Okay.
So it was to save the family at home. So today in Andorra, we have in the top of the summits in Ordino, is the place where I live, we have this metal on the top of these summits. So we have the big six summits in Andorra, in this part of Andorra that it's Ordino, and more or less is 2,900 meters each summit. So the road is across these six summits, and I did this FKT.
So these are sort of a symbolic of your area.
Yeah. It's very typical here in Andorra. So I'm not from Andorra. I born in Barcelona. So
okay.
I lived in Barcelona until 2019. When I won the UTMB, Tetel du Mont Blanc, I decided to buy a house because I lived in my parents' home. So it was time to fly.
Yes.
And I decided to fly to Andorra. It's only 2 hours from Barcelona, 2 hours 30, depending on the traffic. But yeah, and Ordino in Andorra is the best, for me, is the best place. So it's more the Andorran people is living more in Ordino than other small towns in Andorra. So I wanted to do this FKT for Andorra. I'm not from Andorra, but I wanted to do it for Andorra to show how is Andorra and how is this road in the world.
That's really cool. So you mentioned there were six peaks on the route.
Yeah.
Can you maybe just describe the route? Obviously, it connects all these peaks. Is it a loop? Is it a horseshoe? How does it look on the map?
So before I start this route, I visit your website of FKT. So I visited the official website to see if some people update this route, and it was nothing on the website. So I had the possibility to choose what road it was the best one to start this FKT. So I had the option to do a loop from Ordino, the town, and to the loop, it's the total is 60 kilometers, more or less.
Okay.
But the problem of this, it was that I had to run in asphalt some kilometers, and I didn't want. I wanted to do only run in the mountain. And I decided to take the car, go in Arcalis, is the piste of a ski. So it was the last point of asphalt that I could arrive with car. So I thought that for the people, it was really good because they could start in the top, maybe with the car, park the car there, start the road, and then finish in Ordino, in Coll d'Ordino. It was the first step that you take again the asphalt. So I wanted to do only in the mountain, start in the asphalt, start to run in the mountain, and finish in the asphalt. When I take the asphalt again, I finish the road. So, and I finish the six summits. So that's why the road is full mountain terrain in Andorra. And then the summits are really technical. This is, I supposed to do the road in 7 hours 30. Finally, I did 8 hours 30, I think, because the road is so, so technical. And some parts are not really dangerous to die. It's not. But in some parts, if you want to run fast and you are not really technical or you are not really prepared, you have to be careful in some of these summits.
So are these, when you say that they're technical, do you have to use your hands? Like, is this actual scrambling?
Yeah, sure. In the first two climbs, not. The first summit is Cataperdis. The second one, the name is Tristania. In these two first technical summits are really technical, but you don't need the hands a lot. Maybe in some parts, but not a lot. But then we have one between, the name is La Serrera to Estaño. These two summits are in the kilometer 30, 35. So you are a little bit tired because the elevation is too much. In this part of the way, if the people wants to do it, you have to use the hands. And if you have the poles, are really good because it's really steep. The terrain is not very clean. So you have some small rockies and it's a slipper a lot and it's really steep. And if you fall down, you fall down in a big way to down. So it's technical in this part. Yeah.
And when you're doing the hands-on part that's technical, is the rock very solid or is it loose that you have to be very careful?
So I didn't know because it was my first time in this part, exactly this part. It was my first time. And I thought that it was really easy and it was not. And I suppose that the rocky were fixed on the mountain, no? So when I was doing, I remember one short part of maybe 20 meters of elevation. And in these 20 meters, I was thinking, please, I need that these rocks has to be really fixed on the mountain, because if not, I will have a problem and I don't know if I will explain. And it was with security because the rocky was fixed on the mountain. And then in this road, the people has to download the GPX that I publish. But then we have in this road different points of yellow points. So the people can follow these points, and these points are in this really technical part. So the technical parts are not because Pocapay likes the technical parts, sino it's because the way is on this way and it's really technical.
So this route is a marked route. So other people have done this besides you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can do it in the two ways. So you can do it in the way that I publish, or then you can do it in the other way. But in the way that I publish is better because I think that this critical parts of the terrain, these really technical parts, if you want to do it in the downhill, are more dangerous because you don't have this control of the climb. So it's the best way is the way that I did. It's easier. I think it's easier.
It's easier to go up than come down.
Yeah.
In between the technical summits, is it a trail? Is there single track to follow?
All the road is single track. So you don't have piste, a big road or a big path to run. This is not. It's a small trail, single track, everything. In some parts, the single track is really small. And sometimes it's better to run out of the single track because it's really small and really thin. But yeah, everything is in a single track. You don't have piste to run. Only the last downhill is from Casamagna to the Col d'Ordino, where you finish the road. In this downhill is a single track, but then you have the mountain is very big and you can run between the single track. So you have a space. But in the other road, the track is single track, technical, and it's very nice because you don't run like in Utah Trail du Mont Blanc that you have a big way to run and it's like run in the asphalt, but in the mountain, no? You don't have this. You have really mountain trail running.
So when you set out to do this, you mentioned you hadn't been on that technical part before. So how much of this route had you done prior to your FKT?
So where I live, now I'm doing this interview with you, and I have Casamagna behind me at home, so I can see here in the balcony. So it's my playground when I'm training. Tomorrow, for example, I will train in Casamagna, so it's my place. It's true that the climb, the summit of Tristania, and the technical part that I described seconds ago, these two parts, I didn't do it before. Okay. So because I knew that were so technical. And for the kind of races that I run normally, or my training that I have to do, I don't run in this kind of technical races. So I didn't check it before. But yeah, that's why before this project, I didn't know that I could stay 8 hours and 30 minutes to do 42 kilometers with 4,200 positive. So it was too much time, but because the road is really technical.
Right. That makes sense.
After this project, some people in Andorra asked me if it was normal to do the road in 8 hours 30, and because they know the technical zone of La Serrera, Estañó, this part of the road, and some people do it in different days. So they do 12 kilometers in one day, 12 kilometers in another day, because they are 3-4 hours for every day and they need to stop and recover, no? So also in this FKT, you have a refuge, a really good refuge after three summits. So it's the middle of the road. And this refuge is really nice refuge, a really good cuisine. So you can stop there and then the day after start in the other part of this road.
I wondered if there was a refuge up there. So it sounds like it's a fairly commonly done route. Did you see many people when you were out there?
Yeah. You can see people, most of them in this refuge, around this refuge, you can see people. And then in the last part of the FKT, you can see a lot of people. Yeah. Normally in the summits, no, because the summits are technical. I repeat the word technical, but I prefer to say to the people that is technical than not, because then if the people come and the people run in these places and then they write me, hey, Pau, this is so difficult and you didn't advise me, I don't want this. So normally in these summits, you don't see a lot of people. Maybe I cross in the summits. In the first one, nobody, because it was really early in the morning. The second one, nobody. The third one, two people. The fourth one, in the first one, it was a group of 6-7 people. It was a family
there. Okay.
And the five, two people from Basque Country, I remember. And the last one, it was nobody because it was midday at 2 p.m. And maybe the people was taking lunch and nobody. But then in the valley, you can see people doing picnics or camping or walking, running. So you cross people and also you cross rivers. So it's really safety to take drink, to take something in the river because the river is really clean. And yeah, and I refilled the bottles in the river. So
I was wondering about water on the route, because if you're following a ridgeline, a lot of times there's not a lot of water. So how dry was the route? How much water did you carry with you?
So I carry a 1 liter, 2 bottles of 0.5. And then I refilled. Yeah, it's true that in the last part of the road, you don't have water because you are in the top. So you have to do 3 summits without water. And yeah, if you need to refill, this complicate there. But yeah, in the last, maybe the last 12 kilometers, you don't have water. This is a critical point maybe, and because you are more tired because it's the last part of the road. But in the first part of the road, you have water in the river most of the time, so you don't have problems. And then obviously in the refuge, that is the middle more or less of the road, in the refuge you can buy, if you want, bottles of water or Coke or something, and you can carry with you just in case in the last part you need it, no? So
if you know
more or less the time and this kind of road, you can carry more water than I had, because I know that I didn't have a lot of water, but because I wanted to do this FKT and I had to run fast, more or less.
Right. Yeah. You weren't out there very long. You didn't want to carry a lot. Yeah. So what is the weather like there? Is it very, very warm in the summer? What was the weather like when you were out there?
So in the days that I ran was a little bit hot, because here in Andorra, the weather is not really hot, but obviously it's summer. And in the summer, the temperature increase, and here in Andorra is more or less 30 degrees if it's hot weather, 30 degrees. Then in the top of the summit is not 30 degrees, maybe it's 27, 26, 28. Mm. But the positive thing in Andorra is that the weather is really dry. It's not humid. So on this part, normally you don't have this feeling of, wow, it's so hot, it's warm, like Barcelona, no? So here in Andorra is really hot, but I feel the sun, but I don't feel this humid. So it's not really complicated, but on the other way, you are not feeling that you are being dehydrated, and maybe you are. So you have to be careful because you need to drink, because you are not, you don't have this feeling, but maybe you are going to be dehydrated.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Yeah, you don't feel it as much. Is the route obviously on the tops, on the summits, I'm sure it's open, but is there any sort of forest? What's the vegetation like on this route?
So in the first part of the road, in the summits of Cataperdis and Tristania, the vegetation is like a ski piece of ski. So it's rocky, is you don't have trees, you don't have vegetation. It's really, really hard mountain.
Okay.
Like this. Then after these two summits, you are in a, yeah, maybe not big vegetation with trees, but you start to have some flowers around you, but are not a big vegetation. You are not covered with trees and nothing. The road is high mountain road, so you don't have trees in general. So only in the refuge, where you cross the refuge in the middle of the road, there you are in a forest, maybe in 2 or 3 kilometers, where the river is crossing. Mm. And you have this place with, yeah, maybe without sun, because you are in the middle of this forest. But then after this, you start again in the kind of terrain of high mountain. So it's rocky, but then you have the single track all the time without rocks. So this is good.
Yeah, so you would be in the sun the entire time when it's hot out. Makes a difference.
The first two summits are really rocky. So the single track, you cross some rocks. You have to jump sometimes in the rocks. But then after 12 kilometers, more or less, the single track is clean. Sometimes it's really small and you have to be careful, but it's more or less it's clean and you don't have problems.
That's nice to have a trail that doesn't have rocks in it, even though the mountains are very rocky.
Yeah, sometimes it's good.
Yes. So you're mentioning where the refuge is, you're in the trees because the river's there. So how far down are you going in elevation in between each peak?
So more or less in the first peak is 2,940 meters. And then you are going down to 2,000, more or less. 2,300, 2,200, 2,400. Then in the refuge is 2,000, I think, more or less. And you have to climb 1,000 positive to the top of the fourth summit. So more or less the downhill is not too much. It's okay. 500, 600, more or less in general. Then in the middle of the road, it's true that you have a long downhill, also with long of kilometers, a lot of kilometers, and then with elevation with 1,000 negative of elevation, and then you have to climb the same to the next summit.
Hmm. So what do you think your total elevation gain was for this route?
So in total, it was 4,200 positive, I think, or 500 positive. It's more or less is this. It's on the way that I did, it's less than the other way. So if you start where I finish, you have to do 400 more positive. So it's 4,700 more or less, because you finish on the ski pist where I start. So I start in more elevation than I finish.
Sounds like your direction is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, you have to.
So Maybe you could just kind of walk us through the day, like what time you started, how you were feeling, how each peak went. Just maybe just walk us through the through that experience, how you're feeling.
Normally, when I prepare a race or when I'm training, I try to select the races depending the start. So I don't like to start really early. So I prefer to sleep well, wake up, relax, take my breakfast, and then start to run. This is my ritual, my preparation. But for this, my parents on this weekend came to my home in Andorra and I had a lunch with them. So I didn't have a lot of time to finish this FKT.
And let me just go do an FKT before I meet my parents for lunch.
Yeah, exactly. That was the thing.
And I love it.
And that's why I had to start early. So early for me, I start at 5:30 in the morning. So from my home to the start, I have 30 minutes only. So yeah, I woke up at 4:30, I think. I take a coffee, a small sandwich, and then I move to the start. And I start at 5:30 and I finish at 2. And I had the lunch at 2:30. So I had to go fast to my home, take the shower. And I had 30 minutes between the finish of this FKT and the lunch. So it was funny.
Yeah.
And we arrived a little bit late in the restaurant, and I told to the owner of the restaurant, sorry, because I had a project today and I needed 5 minutes more for finish the project. He told me, no worries, you will explain me what happened. I said, okay, okay.
Did your parents know that you were doing this before you were meeting them?
Yeah, they know.
Okay.
They knew.
Okay.
And during the route, I called my wife and I told her, I will finish at 2, no worries, because I will arrive in the lunch.
That's good. So they knew you were going to be there.
Yeah.
So was that, I guess you said it took you a little bit longer than you expected. At any point, were you thinking, maybe I don't have time to do this because I have to meet my family? Were you worried about that?
Because I supposed to finish maybe at 1, maybe. And when I finished the second summit, it was the point that I thought, okay, this road is more difficult than I expected, and I will not finish at 1. If I will arrive in the lunch, it will be lucky for me, no? So, yeah, in the second summit, when I finished the second one, it was, wow. This is more technical, because then I is supposed to work in the uphill, because if it's technical, I prefer to climb with security and don't risk myself. But then I wanted to run in the downhills. And in these first two summits, running the downhills in some parts were not possible. Or yes, but I risked my ankle to have some problems. So maybe I finished the second summit in 3 hours in total. So I had 5 hours more or less to finish, and I had 4 summits more to do. So it was a little bit stressful for it. And from the last summit, maybe the 5th summit, when I finished the 5th to the 6th, it was the last one, I did my best. Everything that I had inside, I gave, because if not, I didn't arrive in the lunch.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of pressure to have, and on technical terrain, for sure.
On technical terrain I don't want to do it again with a lunch inside the project, because, yeah, it's what you mean, no? Sometimes you have to be careful, and if you have to walk here, you have to walk. You don't have to run, or you shouldn't run. So, yeah, the last part I risk a little bit only for one lunch. So, but it was part of the game.
Yeah. So were there any options, like maybe at the refuge, where you could have said, you know what, I don't have time, I'm just going to go down this other trail and bail out of the route? Or were you just had to go the whole way?
No, I decided to go.
So no options, you had to go out.
No option. Then I woke up at 4:30 and I was thinking, you woke up so early, so you will finish. So no. I wanted to do it, because then I didn't have more options for dates, because now I'm training for my next goal of UTMB, and then it was my last opportunity to do these kind of projects, because then now I'm training in different terrain or not really technical ones. So it was the last weekend that I had to do it. Mm. And then I planned with the family, with my wife, the baby, to have this time for the project, to have this morning. And it was the day. And I was thinking, okay, you will suffer more, but then you will finish and you have to arrive.
So do you usually try to have one, or how many projects like this a year do you like to have?
Yeah, years ago, so I did it, some projects. So I crossed in Norway, I did 250 kilometers, but then I don't know if I publish in FKT, I don't know, because I did it in different days, so it's not in one way. But then I did a project also in Tenerife, I did a project in Menorca. Normally, one time per year, I do one project. I'm a professional athlete, so I compete in races. And right. Then in races, we have a lot of pressure sometimes. So because we have sponsors, we have the people looks you if you do it good or not, then they have opinion of them about you, and they don't know you, they don't know your life. And sometimes all of this is a lot of sound around you, no? And yeah, we run races and we want to do it the best, because we are humans and all the people wants to do the best in his life with the family, the best, because we want to be the best. It's normal. But then we have normally a sound around us in a race. If it's good, because it's good. And why it's good or not, or if it's not good, why it's not good. And the people have opinion, and this is complicated to manage. But then when I do a project, it's my project. So it's my moment. The people can't have an opinion about my project, because it's my project, it's my life. And it's like, okay, I'm doing this because I want to do it. I don't have to explain to my sponsors if I do it or not. I do it. It's like when I start to run years ago, because I start to run because I like it. And one day I start to run and I was like, wow, this sport is different than soccer, tennis, or paddle that I like. It's different. It's run, you in the mountain, silence, your peace, your time. If you want to stop, you stop. It's your time. And then in the projects, it's my time. If I want to run faster, I run faster. If not, not. It's my project. I don't have to explain nothing to the other people.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's like... Mm. These projects are your time to just be in the mountains and not, you know, if you want to put pressure on yourself, you can do so, but you don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the FKT is really nice to have this fastest no time. This is a motivation for the people and also for the runners. But then if you want to run slowly, you can do it. You have this road. You can try the Stripajeks. You know the road, and you know that Pau Capell did it one time, and you have these parts, and this is very nice. But it's your project. If you want to stop in the refuge and take a Coke, stop and take a Coke. It's your time. And then when we will die, I hope years ago, we will die and we will think, oh, we will remember these moments. Wow, I did this, or I did this, but I did for me, not for the other people, not for the brands, not for the race, not for the newsletter that says, oh, you are really good, bravo, bravo. This is not important, because then sometimes you are not enjoying. Maybe you win and you don't enjoy, but then you finish this because it's your project, and you finish and you say, wow, I did my project. And this is the value of the, I think, in the value of the running.
Yeah, definitely. How do you go about choosing your projects?
Oh, I choose because I, for example, on this, I wanted to do it because I arrived in Andorra, and the people in Andorra, the people is very, I don't know in English it's the word well or not, but it's very quiet. It's really with the family, the small group of friends, and this is the people in Andorra. So if you are foreigner or you are not from Andorra, you arrive from other countries, is sometimes it's complicated. So they're not really open. So, but when I arrive, I don't know if because I'm professional athlete or not, but the people open the doors, are really, really good with me. And I was like, wow, I have to do something here in Andorra because I love this country and I love these mountains. And that's why I decided to do this project, because it's the valley where I live. And it's because I have insight. If I didn't feel this, maybe I wouldn't do it because I wouldn't have motivation. And now, when I finish this project, I'm looking for next year to do a new project. And I look in your website, in FKT, some projects to motivate myself, or maybe this, or maybe in this country. But I don't have nothing that, you know, that you feel like, wow, is this what I want to do? I don't have it. I think that in Andorra, today is where I have to do it, because it's where I'm feeling in my home, I'm feeling with motivation to explore this small country, but with these big mountains. So that's why sometimes I choose the projects, because, when I'm thinking, the skin thing is like a chicken, you know? Like, wow.
Right. Goosebumps.
Exactly. Like this.
Yeah.
And that's why. And then when I choose races also in my life, in the professional, when I'm working in athlete, I choose the races for this also. Eh? Because if not, then you're running. And if you don't have this motivation, you stop. When you all have pain, or when you are tired, or when something happens during the race, you have a bad moment. Then if you don't have this motivation, you decided to stop. And in the project happens. So it's the same. You have to be motivated to do it.
Yeah. You have to be invested with your heart, not just your head.
Yeah. If you want to compare, like, oh, I want to do this FKT because this guy or this girl did it, this is not good. Because then, you can compare. And then in the hour 10 or 20, if the project is so long, you will be tired and you will think all the time in this comparison, and it's not good.
Right. Thank you so much for coming on the show today to share about this route and your love of running in the mountains. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for the invitation on the podcast. I listened some chapters of that you did it. So are really good for us, for the runners, to motivate themselves. And I encourage you to come in Andorra if you want to do the state projects.
Yeah, it sounds fascinating. I think I'm going to put it on my list. All right. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Pau, for coming on the show. You can read about his FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow his adventures on Instagram at Pau Capelle.